What's going on, guys? Your boy Elroy here, and welcome back to the Your Boy Elroy MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Prep Egina. Before I introduce my co-host for the evening, I would like to just say that the show is changing a bit. Andre, my co-host for the last almost 2 years now, has decided to step away. Perfectly fine, very amicable. We wish Andre the best in his future endeavors. But the show must go on. So with me this evening, my good buddy, Ron Pashery Jr. Pash, what is up, buddy?
Not too much, Prep. So I got called off the bench pretty late in the game this week, so I'm glad I was able to step in and fill in for you. Not too much is up. You know, it's a weird world we live in right now, so
yeah, there's not too much that can go on. No. But before I do move on, I would like to thank Andre for all the hard work that he did throughout the 2 years. Honestly, I could have only built this brand the way I did in this last 2 years if he was here with me through those first 2 years. But I believe that, you know, like I said, the show must go on. I've never missed a week. Like, I am very adamant about being consistent. I love doing this. If I could do this for the rest of my life, there's two things I would do. I would podcast, and I'd be a dad, and I'd have a perfect life. Like, that's all I care about. So, like I said, thank you so much. Probably not listening, which, whatever. But whatever. Let's rock and roll. Let's get into some news, Pash, now. Right off the bat, God's honest truth. All right? You can be very honest. How much these days do you follow the product of mixed martial arts?
So, obviously, you know that I have gotten, like, evolved to a point in my life where I can't separate, like, politics from anything. Like, it's all politics now. And anyone who is on the side that I shouldn't even say the side that I'm not on. I can live with you disagreeing with me. I can live with you having differing views from me. Like, I don't think all of my opinions are facts. And you know me well enough to know that I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. But if you are on the side of that orange fat ass in the White House, you're on the opposite side of me. And if you support that guy, I can't support you. So I have a hard time. Obviously, you know, I walked away from WWE altogether. Now, UFC is a little bit harder because, one, you're not forced to watch so much of it. Two, like, I really think, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you guys have talked about this specifically on the show, like, in the past. But, like, MMA is such a unique sport in the sense of, like, the individual, like, it's all about the individual that you're watching. Like, if you watch the Philadelphia Eagles, you could like three guys on the team and not like 10 guys and still root for the team. But, like, when you're watching MMA, you're, like, focused on, like, I love this one guy. I'm a fan of this one guy. And you almost have this, like, weird personal feeling relationship with them. So it's hard for me to, like, divorce myself from it entirely because there are guys that, like, I have an allegiance to. So I don't follow closely, but you know most of the people that I do follow. And also, like, I love the sport itself. So that alone, like, keeps me from, just because I hate Dana White, I can't abandon the sport completely because it is such a unique, interesting, exciting, and, like, ever-evolving sport. So, like, yeah, I'm clearly not going to be Andre this week, but I think I follow it enough to talk about what needs to be talked about.
Yeah, in all honesty, like, if I ever do get a co-host, I don't expect anybody to be Andre ever because Andre's, like, the way his mind works towards the game, like, that's why I commend him so much. Like, he was very calculated. I just want somebody that I could bounce ideas off of. If it was come, if it comes to the point where I feel like I need a co-host, but I've done enough of these by myself where I think that, like, I can kind of hold my own. With that being said, going off of what you said, like, there is no WWE without the McMahons, and there will always be some form of McMahon in that show. Like, as much as I do think that Dana is, like, a huge part of why the UFC is successful, the fighters are way more important. Like, in the everybody in the WWE is interchangeable, you know what I mean? But, like, will we ever see another Khabib? Will we ever see a Conor? Yes, I do believe that the game is ever evolving, you know what I mean? But these are going to be some names that are going to be borderline impossible to replace. So, like, I do think, like, Dana, you can replace it with any personality, you know what I mean? But, like, these fighters, man, they're something special, especially in the UFC. Like, so with that being said, let's talk about some news. I was in communication with you all day Saturday, like, all fight night Saturday. Very late in the night, right before the main event of the UFC card, I decided to place...
Yeah, you broke some of your own news to me.
Yeah, yeah. I decided to place a bet. Now, I think I've spoke about some of, like, the crazy... Like, I put money on Caitlin Chookagian versus Valentina. Like, I've placed bets on, like, some of the most ridiculous underdogs. Like, cheap bets. $5, $10, just to, like... Yo, what if? You know what I mean? So, there were two bets that really caught my eye. Brian Ortega winning by decision. He was, like, some ridiculous odd. It was, like, if I placed a $5 bet, I get, you know, $45 back. So, I'm like, no brainer. This is easy money. I think he's going to win by decision. Like, there's no way he's going to finish the Korean Zombie. So... place that. For some reason, I put that back in my cart, not really thinking about it. And then I parlayed that with the Teofimo Lopez fight with him winning by decision. And it was like plus 8,900 odds for that to happen, for both of them to win by decision. So I started the boxing fight, fell asleep before they even... walked out, and woke up when they were reading the decision. I lose my mind.
Really?
I woke up right when they read.
Watch the fight?
I didn't even watch the fight. Woke up as soon as they read the decision, and I like lost it. I was like, I won. I won $495 that night. I looked at Jen. I'm like, I won, and she was like half asleep. She just gave me the thumbs up.
Dude, that's a hell of a come up.
What are the odds? Like. And I'm
What were the odds? If anyone knows what the odds were, it would have to be you.
Yeah, did plus 8,900. So I guess that's like a, like, damn, this is a real shot in the dark. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Real quick, does my audio sound any different to you than it did a minute ago?
It does not. Sounds just fine.
Okay, because I noticed while you were talking that you weren't coming through my headphones. You were coming through the phone. So I just changed it to the headphones. I wanted to make sure that my volume didn't change too much.
You sound great. But I do want to say I'm very, like, I'm an audio snob. So if my audio sounds different, something's wrong with my mic. I'm not going to lie. I had a hell of a day. Didn't want to change the mics. So I'm working off the computer audio, which is never good. But I'm going to say it one more time. I think this is the fourth time I say it today. The show must go on.
Yeah. So 8,900. So I believe that's 890-1 odds, I think, is what that translates to. So the odds of that are not great. Whatever it is that jumped within your soul and made you place that bet, like, I'm happy that it did. And I'm happy that it worked out. Yeah, that's like a nice, you know, for putting in not much effort, that's like a pretty nice chunk of change.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of the card or some of the fights this weekend. and maybe talk about the possibility of what should you bet on. Like I said, I placed $10. I put $10 into my park account this weekend, and I came home with $4.95. So you do the math. Hell of a come up. obviously, betting is gambling is terrible. I hate it, but like, I gotta come up, bro. You know what I mean? Are you a gambler at all? Like, I know you've done like fantasy football pools, but I feel like that's different.
So it is different because, so with fantasy football or fantasy basketball or whatever, you're basically just paying to play for a whole season, and you might pay for transactions or whatever, but like you could win money for being the highest scorer of the week or whatever. Yeah, like it's a very regulated way to spend your money, and you kind of get your money's worth based on I participate in this thing for however many weeks, like 15 weeks, 17 weeks. So with gambling, it's very different because like you're shelling out money every time you play. I have gambled in the past. It's something I still do occasionally. I'm like very cautious about it only because I have not like followed things as closely in the last couple years as I did before. So I'm very cautious because it's like I don't know as much as I did before. So like when I used to place bets before, I was like pretty confident. I didn't always win, but I like knew why I was placing the bet. I knew why I believed a certain outcome was going to turn out. And now I just don't. If I place a bet, I'm immediately second guessing it. The last bet I actually placed was I placed it on Masvidal to win within three rounds against Usman. And as soon as
the odds are probably crazy.
They were. And as soon as I placed that bet, I was like, I shouldn't have made that bet because I know Usman is going to win. And I had no doubt. And I'm like, I should have known better. Just because I wanted Jorge to win so bad. I think I had talked so much shit about like, oh, Usman sucks. Like if he ever fought Jorge, like it's a wrap. He's going to get knocked out. And then I think I felt like I had to put my money where my mouth was. And as soon as I put my money there, I was like, I think I was wrong all this time. And I clearly was.
I was definitely thinking about placing money on that fight. I'm glad I didn't.
Because yeah, I'm pretty sure you would have bet the same way I did. Because you very much were, I feel like, talking the same way that I was about it.
Dude.
But when it came time, it's so crazy like, that
the fight went the way it did still to this day.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I do enjoy betting. I think it's fun. And I think gambling is only really bad if you don't have, like, self-control. Like, if you're going to go out there and bet $10 on a couple fights, I don't think there's any harm in that. Where it gets dicey is when you can't handle the fact that you lost a bet, and now you're, like, chasing that money all the time, and you keep chasing, and then you end up in a bigger hole than you started with. But I think it's fun. And I think it's really cool, like, the access that everyone has to it now, like how easy it is to place all these crazy bets. Like, think about it. 5 years ago, would you have ever been able to place that parlay that you did the other night?
Never that.
So I think it's fun. I think it's, as long as you have yourself under control and as long as you're not going to like lose your house or something over it, or like lose your wife or whatever. Yeah, I think it's harmless. It's harmless fun. And you know what? I'm sure anyone out there listening to this has wasted $10 on dumber things than you did on those two bets.
Exactly. That's one that's one less trip to Wawa, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So,
but congrats on the big win.
Thank you, Pass. That's all I wanted to hear, for real, for real. Let's actually talk about some like legitimate news though. So you followed the welterweight scene all this year, obviously. One of the biggest, you know, divisions in the UFC, in MMA, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Something really random happened today, Pash, and I want to get your thoughts on it. The UFC dropped Leon Edwards from their rankings for inactivity. Hmm. Now, I've read sources that say that it's due to him turning down too many fights. I find this very strange because I feel Dana was very complimentary. Like 2 weeks ago, somebody was saying, do Leon versus Chimaev. And he's like, why would I do that? Like, because obviously Leon Edwards, top three welterweight in the world. But now it looks like Leon wants the Shemaya fight, which is mind-boggling. What do you think about this power play? Like, this might be like some strong-arming from the UFC to get what they want.
Yeah, so, I mean, my first thought with that is that it's probably, like, money-related. Like, maybe he wants more money than they're willing to pay him, and I could see them, like, punishing somebody for that. I do think, though, like, Dana is the type, like, he wants guys to want to fight all the time. Like, he definitely is a guy that, like, wants you to be the guy that'll step in, you know, 3 days before a fight and, like, replace somebody who had to drop out. Or he wants you to take a fight on 10 days notice. Or he wants you to fight whoever they throw at you. Like, yeah, I'll fight anybody. Like, he has that mentality, and he wants these guys to have that mentality. But, like, one thing that I think he doesn't – maybe he doesn't accept it, or he doesn't believe in it. Like, as much as he's a businessman, these guys realize that they're businessmen too. And – it's like, it's kind of one of the things that made me stop being a diehard fan was when I felt like guys were doing whatever it took just to get a win in a fight, as opposed to going out there and having a fight. It made some fights less exciting. But I think, like, these guys are businessmen. They need to look out for their best interests. They need to do what's going to set them up to make the most money they can make. And a lot of times that means being a little bit more cautious. Or it means maybe picking your opponents a little more carefully. Or it means holding out for a little more money in this fight because you don't know how many more you're going to have or whatever. So I definitely think, like, my uneducated opinion or slightly educated opinion is this is definitely some type of, like, business strong-arming or punishment to try to get Leon Edwards to maybe do something that he has not done or that they want him to do. And I don't know if you feel the same way or if you look at it maybe a slightly different way, but I'm curious what you think about it as well.
Now, I'm real surprised about this move because I feel like it's not like he didn't want to fight Tyron Woodley. Like, there was clear issue with that, like, booking and, like, having to move around the world. Like, it's really unfair.
Well, yeah, wasn't he stuck, like...
Yeah.
Not being able to travel.
So, like, I wouldn't even count that. Then you have, like, it's exactly what Dana said. Like, why would I book that fight? Like, it doesn't make any, like, if Leon is number three, I'm going to book him against this unranked guy. Like, that's crazy. Like, I wouldn't expect that from, you know, the crappiest human being. Let alone someone who actually, like Dana, yes, he's a crappy human being, but, like, he knows this game. He wouldn't do that to him, like, in my opinion. Right. But I kind of like it. Like, I like the idea of kind of strong-arming him into fighting Hazmat. I didn't like what they did with Darren Till, how hard they rushed him to, like, be this star. But Shemaev, man, he is smart. Like, he'll fight. Yo, if you saw him right now on Fight Island and be like, yo, let's go fight, he would fight you. Like, it's... And I know that's a trait.
I hope he would fight me.
Yeah. But I know
easy money for him.
I know that's a trait that you love. Because, like, that was, like, your big thing with BJ Penn, right?
Yes. Yeah, he would fight anybody. Like, any weight didn't matter. Like... Dana used to say that, like, if I offered BJ Lesnar tomorrow, he would sign that contract. And yes, that was one of the things I definitely respected about him as a fighter. So, like, that mindset, and maybe this is one of the few ways that Dana and I see eye to eye. Like, I love that when a guy's like, I don't care. I just want to get in there. I just want to scrap. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. That's one of the things I always respected, like, about Masvidal. And even though, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the Diaz brothers, like, that's one of the reasons why they have the utmost respect for me, because those guys are, like, I hate to, like, quote them, but those guys are, like, real fighters. They will fight anybody, and they, maybe not anymore, they won't fight anybody.
Real fighters only, bro. Real fighters only.
Yeah, I don't know if they're real fighters anymore. They were, but I think maybe they like fell a little more, well, maybe not Nick, Nate, I think, definitely either fell more on the business side, or he may just not even know what he wants to do anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He just wants to put his daughter through school. That's what I feel. But like,
do you think the Leon Edwards thing, not to cut you off, but like, I was thinking about this when you started making your points. Like, Dana has obviously had plenty of run-ins in the past. We know he's kind of in the middle of a run-in with Conor McGregor recently. Do you almost think maybe, like, it's a similar thing to the curtain call with the Click, where, like, obviously Hall and Nash were leaving, HBK was too big to get punished, and then Triple H took the punishment. Do you think there's maybe, like, I can't do anything to Conor about him doing whatever he wants, so I'll punish this guy because I can get away with it?
Can you say that one more time? I just, like, totally drew a blank.
I'm kind of comparing it to a situation like the curtain call with the Click in Madison Square Garden, where Vince couldn't punish Hall and Nash because they were leaving. He couldn't punish HBK because he was, like, his biggest star. So all of the blame basically fell on Triple H because he was the guy you could punish. Do you think, like, I know he's pissed off at Conor right now because some of the stuff that happened with DMs and him saying he wanted to fight Diego, and like that pissed off Dana, and Dana's like, well, I can't do anything to Conor, but like I can do something to this guy. Like, do you think it's him maybe taking out frustrations on guys he can get away with it for?
No, I don't think that. And honestly, I feel like this whole like inactivity thing is just like a whole rumor. Like, I think that this was like a mistake in the system somewhere, because he hasn't fought for 425 days, which is not crazy. But if we could go to the rankings, like, I'm not going to, but I'm sure there's people on the rankings that you're like, yo, I haven't seen this guy fight in 2-3 years.
Oh, like, this guy's on the roster?
Like, could you imagine seeing, like, one of the Diaz brothers on the rankings right now?
Right, yeah, we haven't seen them in ages.
Yeah, so, I mean, I like Leon Edwards. Like, as a fighter, honestly, in this 8-fight win streak, like, I look at it and I'm not like, oh, look at all these people he's beaten. And for him to be, at the time, ranked where he was, it was like, oh, maybe this isn't like, oh, yeah, he's beaten 8 people. But, like, the only notable names that I can see on this list are Donald Cerrone, well past his prime, and Rafael Dos Anjos, the same thing. And Vicente Luque, maybe someone who wasn't even in his prime yet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, and these other guys are, like, I'm not going to say they're nobodies, but they're, like Brian Barberina. Yeah, we've seen him a million times in the cage, but nobody ever looks at him like, I can't wait to see this Brian Barberina fight.
I think I know what you're really trying to say. The main point you're trying to make here about Leon Edwards.
What is that?
I was not impressed with your performance.
I was not impressed by your performance. Listen, but I was excited for him. This is the issue with the UFC. Like, yeah, you could be on this run, but like, who's to say that he gets, you know, if he gets in the octagon with name any, like, what if he goes against Jorge and Jorge smokes him in the first round? You know what I mean? We'll never hear from Leon Edwards ever again. The UFC will cut bait on him and then that's it. You know what I mean? Like, what if Stephen Thompson just puts on, like, a clinic against him? It'd be crazy. Like, give him – they need to do that fight. That fight made all the sense in the world. Like, Stephen Thompson versus Leon, 3-4. But we'll see. I mean, I'm sure this weekend, you know, I've watched, like, everything that the UFC has put out. Which we'll talk about, like, when we talk about UFC 254. Mm-hmm. But, like, and I watch every Dana interview, because every interview there's, like, something. There's, like, there's always something. So I know that these media guys are smart. Somebody's going to ask him about, yo, what's up with Leon Edwards?
Right.
And Dana's probably going to say, like, yo, that's not, like, I don't make the rankings or whatever. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, that's definitely the way he'll approach it.
Yeah. Let's move on from your favorite person, Dana White, to your other favorite person, Brock Lesnar. I don't know how, but Brock Lesnar has made his way back into the UFC video game. He is in the DLC for October for the new UFC game. So Brock fans, there you go. He is back in the game.
I mean, are there Brock fans? Like, I've yet to meet one.
Well, it's not me and it's not you. So that's all that matters right now, right?
Yeah.
Also, just some small news topics. The PFL has announced their return for April 23rd. Obviously, due to the pandemic, they had to skip this whole season. Probably smarter because, you know, they have a heavy budget. They're promising these million-dollar checks. And without a live gate, it's like a rough thing to promise. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, better for them. For me, better for these fighters as well who get to rest. You know, I know you're a big proponent of that. And you probably like the fact that PFL works on like a season basis, right?
I really do. Yeah, I think that's kind of how all of this stuff should be. Like, there's a reason why the NFL is like gone from February through, you know, September. There's a reason why the NBA is gone from June through October. There's a reason why the NHL is gone that same time. Like, guys need to take time to get their bodies right. And think about it. Like, how often is there a fight you're looking forward to where someone pulls out with an injury? And imagine how much less that would happen if these guys actually got time to kind of heal properly. Or how many guys say, like, oh, yeah, I've had this, whatever it is, like a ligament in my knee or my shoulder. Like, I've been waiting to get this surgery. Like, just continuing to work and fight with an injury. I think it's great for these guys to get some time off. So I'm 100% supportive of PFL having a season and not just an around-the-clock grind, because it eventually wears you out.
Yeah, it's. I did enjoy the performance. I like that they run on, like, Thursdays. I'm all about that, like, random night of the week. And I like a lot of their fighters, like MAGA Millions, like they call him. He's won the $1 million twice. Obviously, like Lance Palmer. I really liked watching the evolution of Kayla Harrison. So I'm excited for next year, you know, for them to get back, because they are very exciting to watch. Let's talk about some fight announcements real quick, because there are a few. Mm-hmm. The rematch between Angela Hill and Tisha Torres. Now, I don't know about you, but I love watching Angela Hill fight. She is such a fun personality. Like, and what I like even better is when she gets upset when she loses. Like, she can't get, like, a break. It's always a split decision. It's too funny.
She's like the Jorge of the women's divisions.
Yeah, yeah. Listen to this one. This is crazy. What a jump in competition for Marlon Chito Vera after defeating Sean O'Malley is going up and gonna face Jose Aldo.
That's a big fight.
Crazy.
Now, obviously, you're not getting prime Jose Aldo, but it's still like Jose Aldo.
Yeah, so then the RDA fight against Islam Makhachev has been rebooked. Which is, yo, that's a main event? What? Who? Are you looking forward to that fight as a main event?
No. I'm trying to remember what fight. I felt like there was a fight they were thinking. Oh, it might have been Conor and Poirier. That they were talking about making that fight to be the main event on that card, whatever card it is.
They're definitely going to be the main event on a card in, like, January.
But what is that card, though? The RDA fight?
Oh, this is November 14th, so
week I saw that mentioned as a main event, and they were saying that's like the prime spot to put the McGregor-Poirier fight, because that would be a real main event on this card. So, and then when it was officially announced as a main event, they were like, all right, well, I guess we're not getting Conor in 2020. But no, I'm not looking forward to it as a main event. Are you?
I mean, I'll watch it. Because I watch everything, but, like, main event, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then coming off his loss to Corey Sandhagen, Marlon Moraes has been booked once again against Rob Font. Huge leap for Rob Font in competition as well. He is ranked number 11 in the bantamweight division, and Marlon Moraes is ranked number 3. So congratulations to Rob Font on getting that fight. That's so crazy to me. Also, there has been a signing by the UFC. They have signed the Cage Warriors double champ. He is the lightweight and the welterweight champ. He is 10-0. His name is Mason Jones. So obviously, the UFC and Cage Warriors have a relationship. We've seen Conor come from there, who is probably like the biggest name, obviously, and a bunch of other champions, former champs, and whatever come from Cage Warriors. I was going to
say, probably, unless like Muhammad Ali came through there or something.
Yeah, bunch of, what I wanted to say was there's a ton of former champs who came from there. So yeah, congratulations.
They're almost like a pipeline for UFC.
Exactly, so congratulations to a Mason Jones for getting that.
Have you seen Mason Jones fight?
I have not, no.
Do you know anything about him? Like what type of, like what kind of style of fighter he is or anything?
I was trying to look him up while you were talking about, like, right when I was looking up fighters earlier, I was trying to look it up. So he was born in Wales. His affiliation gym is a jiu-jitsu gym. Let's see, his last two fights, TKOs, then the two before that, decisions, TKO, decision. Yeah, he looks like, and he's had two submissions, so he looks like he throws hands.
Okay.
Which is very exciting.
It's a guy to look up, though. Like, I realize, and I'll talk a little bit more about this when we start talking about the card coming up, but, like, I've really fallen in love with, like, the next thing. I'm not all about, like, there are some guys who have been around a while that I'll always root for, but like I've realized I'm always falling on, like, I want to see the next guy come up. So like you mentioned this guy coming in being a big sign, I'm like, all right, I want to know about this guy because I'm like always ready for something else like to pop up to get me excited. So it's something for me to look up when we finish up recording.
Yeah, he guess how old he is. Pash, all right, guess what year he was born.
Nineteen ninety-five. Okay, I almost said 93, and I was like, well, that wouldn't really be that surprising. That's like a 27-year-old guy. Dude, 95 is crazy.
25 years old. In high school.
I was a junior in high school.
I was 4 years old, Pash. Before we talk about the card from this past weekend and the card that's upcoming this weekend, I have a question because I haven't gotten to talk to you too much about MMA or, like, anytime we talk, it's more like, hey, how you doing? What you been up to? Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to MMA, one of my favorite stories of this year and of this weekend coming up is the signing of Michael Chandler. Obviously, I always talk about, like, how much of a fan I am and how, like, big this signing is to me. With that being said, I feel like he's getting slighted a lot from all the top lightweights because the fight prior to his, like, three fights ago, he got finished by a featherweight. So, like, do you think that the... How do I put it? Do you think that the criticism is warranted in this, like, because I feel like, yo, Michael Chandler can compete with anybody, like, and anybody can be finished, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Justin Gaethje has been finished 2 times in a row, like, we've seen it, but...
GSP, like, got finished by Matt Serra.
Yeah, like, but you don't look at Justin Gaethje and think, damn, bro, you're not even that good, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I hate how people are looking at this like this. But what do you think about that?
So, like, I understand, like, the mentality, like, the mindset of it. Especially, like, if you don't like a fighter, it's real easy to like find a way to like diminish them. Like if I don't like the original MAGA fighter, and I could say like, okay, his biggest wins were against like RDA, who spent like a good chunk of his career as a lightweight, so he beat a smaller guy, and he beat like a washed up Robbie Lawler, and he beat a washed up Tyron Woodley, and he got his jaw broken and got finished by Kamaru Usman. Like, it's real easy for me to like tell that story of why he's maybe not as good as you would think.
Are you talking about Kobe Chaos Covington?
Yeah.
The great American winning machine.
Yeah, I won't say his name, but you obviously can feel free to. So if people like
Donald Trump's like favorite fighter.
Yes. But stick to sports unless you like Trump. We don't need to get into that. So I get the mentality of trying to diminish a guy based on like a misstep or a stumble. But like you said, people get finished. People lose fights. Like, people get upset in fights where they're favorites. It happens all the time. And that's one of the things that makes the sport so exciting is when two guys get into a cage, like, anything can really happen. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the few sports where anything can happen. So, yeah, that shit happens. But if you're a great fighter, you bounce back from, like, the setbacks and you, like Connor and his coach always say, like, you're either winning or you're learning. Like, if you take those setbacks and you learn from them and get better from them, it's not even really like a loss per se. So, yeah, I think it's silly to diminish a guy for one misstep. And also, I kind of remember back to like when Carlos Condit came to UFC from ECW? What the heck? What was that called?
Elite XC.
WEC? WEC.
Did he come from WEC?
Yes. And he was the welterweight champion there. And I remember, like, I would watch that and be like, this dude would get roasted by all the UFC welterweights. And then I see him in the UFC, and it's like, I fell in love with the guy. Like, holy shit, this dude is a monster. And, like, I would look down on guys from lesser promotions than UFC because I didn't know any better. And then you see them come in and fight against that competition, and it's like, oh, yeah, they are no less than these guys are. So, like, I would never underestimate someone for, one, the promotion they're coming from, and, two, like, did they happen to lose, especially if they've had other great performances since then. So, yeah, I think he's getting, like, some unwarranted heat for that loss, and I think people should probably be more excited to see what he can do when he gets to the UFC.
Thank you. Yeah, like Tony Ferguson, who just got his brains beat out of him, is like complaining that they offered him the fight. I'm like done with it. I'm like, any talk about Michael Chandler that isn't positive, like, I'm not taking it. Now, obviously, I would admit his fault if he was to like fail a drug test or miss weight. I'd be like, come on, Michael Chandler, like, you got to do better. But as long as he's doing everything the right way, like, I am with him.
Agreed, and I'm excited to see, like, what his UFC career turns into.
Yeah, I almost, well, we'll talk about that at UFC 254 in a few minutes, but first, before we get to that, I would love to talk about this past weekend. I don't know if you saw any of the UFC card, but just to go over the top three fights really quick. Maybe one of my favorite knockouts of the year, which is, like, crazy to say after we just had one of the craziest knockouts of the year. Jimmy Crute over Modestus Bukauskas. Modestus, someone who I was, like, excited to see face someone like Jimmy Crute because I know how good Jimmy Crute is. He just got smoked in the first round in 2 minutes. And you know what? Jimmy Crute is that good. He shouldn't have been in this fight against this, like, up-and-comer, you know what I mean? He actually has more fights than Jimmy Crute, but Jim Crute has been in the UFC a lot longer. He's a beast, and he showed it that night in the co-main event, Jessica Andrade's flyweight debut. She crushes the number one contender, Caitlin Chookagian, with body shots It was amazing to see. I would love to see Jessica Andrade fight for the title. Maybe after one more fight. Give me one more solid fight, and then go ahead. Go fight Valentina and get led like a lamb to slaughter, because I don't think anybody's beating that girl. And then the main event, for the first time since 2018, Brian Ortega, he defeats Chan Sung Jung by decision and, like, beat his ass, like, 5-0.
So I was going to say, like, I read about it, and I didn't watch the fight, but from what I read, it was not, like, an eked-out decision. It was, like, a clear, like, one-sided victory.
No, he beat that ass, like, easy. Like, there was no dispute. By decision, thank you. I got paid. it was good to see. And after the fight, Dana saying Brian Ortega versus Alex Volkanovski is next. Now, I know why Dana is saying that. I know why he'd rather have Brian Ortega in that main event. A lot of people are not happy about it. But my thing is, I know Brian Ortega as this, like, marketing machine. Like, you watch any of the Modelo commercials for the UFC, he is in them. You know, he's been in Toyo Tire commercials. Like, any commercial that the UFC puts out, like, Brian Ortega is somewhere in the bathroom. So clearly they have a lot of stock placed in him.
They do, and wasn't he being hyped up like 2 years ago as like the guy who was going to be the champ? I'm blanking on his name right now. The Olympics kid, the corny guy that
Ben Askren?
No, not him. I would remember Ben Askren.
Henry Cejudo?
Yes. Like, wasn't he being billed as like the guy who was going to knock off Henry Cejudo at one point? Or maybe I'm confusing him with somebody else entirely.
Yeah, you're confusing him. Brian Ortega fought his last fight.
I think they're talking about Brian Ortega maybe being the guy that could beat Khabib.
So Brian Ortega's last fight, he's a featherweight. His last fight was against Max Holloway at the end of 2018. If you remember, battered, beaten, and bruised, like Max Holloway boxed him out for like the whole fight. And just, like, really beat the crap out of him. But before that, like, he knocked out Frankie Edgar. He's a jiu-jitsu phenom, like, and he's Mexican. And he's, like, attractive, you know what I mean? Like, he has a good look. So for the UFC, obviously, he ticks all the boxes. He's, you know, he's international. He's a very good-looking dude, and he's very well-spoken. So that's why the UFC is pushing him. That's why, obviously, they want to see him in the main event. I think that's a lot of fun for Alex Volkanovski. Like, him versus Brian Ortega, it's, like, very different from the last two fights. He had to fight with Max Holloway. Obviously, Max Holloway relies a lot on his boxing. If Brian Ortega can get in and take him down, obviously, Volkanovski has great MMA wrestling. He fights the hands very well. His takedown defense is fantastic. But if you get a guy as lanky as Brian Ortega, who knows what to do, you know, his jiu-jitsu is great. I see him posing a lot of problems for Volkanovski. Now, Volkanovski cannot let him get in range. But I don't want to break down the fight right now. We will cross that bridge when we get to it. Alex Volkanovski did have an interview. He was hoping that he could have that fight, in like March. So I think that gives them enough time to like come up with a game plan and for the UFC to really build like this international fight, like the Mexican against the, you know, the Australian guy or New Zealand, whatever he is.
Yeah.
So that leads us, Pash, to this weekend. Maybe the biggest fight, like the biggest main event of the year. We have Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Justin Gaethje. Now, classic, like, wrestler against striker. But one thing that we haven't seen and that we know is there is Justin Gaethje is a fantastic wrestler. Like, he used it very early in his career, and once he learned how to knock people out, we haven't seen him since. But it sounds like that's one of his best tools and is, like, something that he hasn't had to show because he has hands. Khabib, we know what we're going to get. We're going to get him to push you against the cage, take you down, beat you up, and try to submit you. Pash, what do you want to see out of this fight?
So, I guess one thing I want to see is, like, obviously, Justin Gaethje had maybe the most impressive performance of the year against Tony Ferguson. Like, well, I think a lot of people were in on the idea that Justin Gaethje was really good and really dangerous and would pose a problem for anyone you put in the cage with him. Nobody, I don't think, saw him doing what he did to Tony Ferguson. I don't think anybody thought there was anybody alive who could do to Tony Ferguson what Justin Gaethje did to Tony Ferguson. And, like, would you agree with that nobody thought that would happen to Tony?
Definitely. No, like, I never thought that Tony would get beaten up like that. Like, we're so used to Tony being the one to do that.
Mm-hmm. And, like, just outlasting you and wearing you down and eventually just beating you down. And, like, that was one of the worst beatings I've ever seen. One, I'm curious if, like, because a lot of times you don't know for real. Like, we can speculate and theorize and kind of scout guys and give ourselves an idea of what we think will happen when two guys get in there. But, like, we don't really know if Tony Ferguson is on Khabib's level because we never got to see it. And we could think of all the reasons why Tony could have beaten Khabib or could have given Khabib a good fight or whatever. But we have no idea what would have happened when those two stepped in there because we never got to see it. So I'm curious if Justin Gaethje can do to Khabib what nobody else has really been able to. I'm curious if, like, his, you know, collegiate wrestling matches up with, like, the Dagestani wrestling, which is, you know, seen as, like, almost like another different animal. Like, what I want to see out of this fight, one, I want to see a fun fight. Like, I want to see an action-packed fight. And I want to see, like, I kind of want to see a competitive fight. But I think ultimately what I want to see out of this fight is I want to see Khabib get to 29-0. Because I think he has reached that level where you view him as, like, separate from the rest of the guys in his division. And I love when somebody reaches that point where they're, like, clearly he's separated from the pack. And I think, like, you started talking maybe a year ago about watching, like, videos of Khabib, like, with DC and seeing his personality a little more. And the more I have gotten to see of him, the more I've heard him talk, the more I've seen him, like, interact with guys, the more I've seen him interviewed, I just have kind of really started to like the guy. Like, and not even just as a fighter, like, as a human being, I feel like he is a really genuinely humble, like, kind-hearted person that, like, cares about the people he cares about. And it's, like, something about him is very endearing, where I'm, like, I just, like, I actually like him as a person, and I want to see him succeed. And I sent you, I think I sent this a couple months ago, when Gaethje was at a Trump rally, and then 5 seconds later, I came across a clip of Khabib talking about, you know, he'll never be on the level of Muhammad Ali because of Muhammad Ali fighting against, like, racial injustice that he would never have to face. And I was like, these two guys couldn't be more different. So I'm definitely rooting for Khabib, but I want to see, like, I'm very curious to see if the step up in competition, like, if he can negate the things that Justin Gaethje is good at. I feel like Gaethje is more well-rounded, like, definitely a better striker. Clearly, he's good as a wrestler and on the ground and all that. But what Khabib's strength is just, I feel like, so much better than anything Justin is good at, if that makes sense.
Khabib is the definition of relentless. Like, he just won't stop till, like, you're down, you're defeated. And, like, when you hear about, like, breaking somebody's will, yo, Khabib is that guy. He will break your will. He will break your spirit. and he would just make you rethink your whole career. Like, Khabib is a problem. He is one of the great, like, I remember first watching MMA and, like, not being excited to see, like, a wrestler. Like, that's why I didn't like, that's why I didn't like GSP for a while. And then those Johnny Hendricks fights happened, you know, and it's not that I liked GSP at that point. It was like, oh, this guy can fight. You know what I mean? He doesn't just wrestle. But then you see someone who just wrestles like Khabib, like some of the craziest control. The ground and pound is always vicious. And like, think about that neck crank he had on Conor McGregor. Like, he was going to kill that guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Rightfully so at the time. But Khabib is just such a legend. And as much as I'd like to see 29-0, man, I just love a good, like, like a wholesome family story. And Justin Gaethje saying, like, yo, I step in the cage Saturday night, my mother can retire. Like, stuff like that really hit me. I'm a family man now. Like, I wish, like, my kids never had to work a day of their life. You know what I mean? Like, I wish that I could provide for my parents where they could just, you know, chill at home with their grandkids all day. So, Justin, to fight for that, there's going to be a hell of a fight, Justin. So, I hope you have your wrestling shoes on. And I hope you're ready to get pushed. Yo, if you don't, here's what I'm scared of. Obviously, he's going to try to keep the fight in the middle of the octagon. I just think Khabib, like, bull rushes him to the fence. And, like, I listened to an interview with Ally Aquinta today, and he's saying how strong Khabib is. Like, it's, like, you look at him and, like, yeah, like, he's, like, a bigger 155-er, but he's just so strong, like, that you don't expect it.
Agree. Like, he's a whole different thing. Like, no one, until you have faced him, you have not faced anything like him. And so it's real easy to say what your game plan is. It's real easy to say, as long as I keep this in the middle, like, he can't do what he does. But, like, there's a reason why, no matter who he goes up against, he always manages to do what he does. No one has ever stopped him from doing what he does. And I'm not going to believe that anyone is going to stop him from doing what he does until I finally see somebody stop him from doing what he does. And yeah. I don't know if that's going to be Justin.
And I do agree. I think, I don't remember who said, I think it was Ariel. But I do agree that Justin Gaethje is the most dangerous opponent that he's ever faced. Even with Conor, I think that he has the heaviest hands that he's ever faced. I think that Justin Gaethje punches way harder than Conor. Now, he's a wild man. Like, we've seen it. But if the Justin Gaethje that showed up to fight Tony Ferguson shows up on Saturday, Khabib's going to have some trouble. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, if he can land those shots, like, maybe everything I said goes out the window. You know? I don't believe it's going to happen. Like, with him, with Khabib, I don't believe it's going to happen until I've seen it happen. I mean, and don't get me wrong. I know all the ways that Justin theoretically can pose problems for him. Like, I know why he's dangerous. And I agree with Ariel. I do think this is the most dangerous fight so far for him because of the heavy hands, because of, you know, the background with wrestling that a lot of guys don't have. Like, I think if he can even hold his own in the grappling, like, that might be enough, because I don't think they're in the same league as strikers. So if it can become where Justin has the fight standing up more often, like, he clearly has the advantage. It's just that I just don't believe anyone can negate what Khabib does.
Yeah, so that's the main event. That's really the fight to watch. Like, please remember that this card starts at, like, 2. So for me to watch...
I didn't remember that.
Well, the main card starts at, like, 2. So obviously Khabib being really big in the Middle East, the UFC is looking to cater to that side of the world with the early start time, which I love. That means I'll be watching MMA from, like, 11 o'clock in the afternoon till, you know, whatever it is, 4 o'clock at the latest. I'm looking forward to that. But in the co-main event, I'd be remiss if I don't bring this up because I think it is a fantastic fight. Robert Whittaker versus Jared Cannonier. Obviously, we know the stakes. Izzy laid him out very, very cleanly last month when he said, yo, Jared Cannonier, you go out, you destroy Robert Whittaker, you're next. That's what I'm looking to see, man. It's not that I don't like Robert Whittaker. I respect him. I think he was a great champion. Very talented fighter. But damn, I would love to see the fresh matchup of Jared Cannonier versus Israel Adesanya.
So this is what I was referring to when I said I'm like always ready for like the next thing. And exactly what you said. I have so much respect for Robert Whittaker. Was a great champion. I mean, had two like wars with Yoel Romero, which not many guys can say they survived one battle with Yoel, let alone two.
10 rounds.
Yeah, 10 rounds with that guy.
Every bit of 10 rounds.
So, yeah, like I do have the utmost respect for that guy as a champion, as a fighter, like as a father, as a human being. Like, could not respect him any more than I do. But Jared Cannonier, like, remaking his career, like, in a lower weight class, like, getting his body the way that he has. Like, even just his kind of, like, off-the-wall, like, the crystal stuff and, like, the natural energy stuff. Like, I love that. This guy is – and I'm not making light of his, like, philosophy or mindset by saying this, but this guy is a character. Like, there's not anyone else that you're watching that is the same type of guy as this guy. And I find that very intriguing. I find that very appealing. And the fact that he's a great fighter, too. I want to see that. I want to see that matchup with Izzy. Like, I want to see Adesanya get to go through guys the way GSP did, the way Anderson Silva did. And look, do I think a guy like Robert Whittaker, like, would I admire him earning another shot at that guy that destroyed him? Yeah, I would like to see him, like, for his own, like, self-respect and all that, get to earn that. But, like, I want to see him get to fight this other guy that I think is, like, to me, more dangerous of a fight than Robert Whittaker is. We've seen what he could do to Robert Whittaker. And maybe Izzy would outclass Jared Cannonier. I don't know. But, like, to me, that is a very intriguing matchup that I really want to see. And we only get to see it if he beats Robert Whittaker. So, like, I am all in on Cannonier winning on Saturday.
Yeah, me too. Either way, it's going to be a great fight. Like, I don't see this being a dud at all. Just some other notable fights on the card. We have Alexander Volkov versus Walt Harris. Magomed Ankalaev versus Ion Cutelaba. If you go back, this is like the fourth time they try to make this fight. If you go back to the first time they fought, Ion got caught like playing possum and trying to act like he was knocked out, and the fight got called off. So he's an idiot for that. You get your chance to get redemption next, but allegedly this Magomed guy is a beast. Then we have notable names. Lauren Murphy, Stefan Struve, Tai Tuivasa, Nathaniel Wood versus Casey Kenney is a fun fight. Alex Oliveira is on this card, as well as Sam Alvey. So that's all the names. It's not like the most stacked card, but if I had to buy this card, I would buy it for the sole fact that the main event is beautiful, fantastic. Obviously, that's what we're here for, and I cannot wait to see it.
Agreed. I think it's kind of interesting that it's a main event where these two guys clearly, like, respect each other. It's not about some, like, personal hatred or personal rivalry or shit-talking. Like, and don't get me wrong, I love that. Like, to me, I usually prefer that. But it's kind of fun to get to see a fight that is, like, just about the fight. Like, two fighters that are just, like, excited about the opportunity to fight each other. I'm very excited for the main event and the co-main event. I have high hopes for both fights. And you know what? I don't know if I'm going to watch the whole thing. But I will say this. Like, every time I'll, like, watch a stream or whatever and I'll tune in a little earlier than – because usually there's one or two fights I really want to see, and I'm not worried about the rest. But anytime I tune in early, I always like find a guy or a girl that I'm like, oh, I want to see this person again. So I'm curious to see who it's going to be on this card if I do tune in early, like that's going to catch my eye for the future. Is there anyone I should have my eye on?
On this card, I couldn't even point anybody out. I guess Casey Kenney and Nathaniel Woods, a pretty fun fight. That's underrated. That's really it for me. Lauren Murphy is someone who's probably going to get a title shot if she keeps winning. I think she's on like a pretty significant win streak right now. No. Three fights, but she's beat like Roxanne Modafferi, Andrea Lee, and Mara Borello. So like pretty significant wins in that division. She's a little older. She was supposed to fight Cynthia Calvillo, but Calvillo was had to withdraw. So yeah, like I said, if I'm just here to watch the Khabib fight, I'm fine for it.
Yeah,
let's
more
go.
Than worth it.
Khabib versus Justin Gaethje.
So do you have a prediction? I mean, my prediction is Khabib. Like I said, I will not believe someone's going to beat him until I see someone do it.
Yeah, I don't like to do predictions too much, but I am going to say that I see Justin Gaethje getting his hand raised. And it's a shame because we didn't even bring up, like, Khabib's pop passing away. Like, there's a lot of stuff riding on this card. But we'll not worry about that too much. We'll enjoy the fight for what it is. And, yeah, that has been this week's Your Boy Elroy. I am Josh Prepagina. You can find me on all forms of social media, Elroy Prepson. One word. You can find the show on Instagram at YBE MMA Podcast. Pash, I know you're not a social media guy, but you have a lot of things coming up, so I will give you time to plug those things.
Do I have anything coming up?
Well,
oh, I do, I guess.
Yeah,
I have
two runs.
5K. I do have a 5K tomorrow. Bark in the Park, which benefits Providence Animal Center, which is an animal shelter that basically takes care of homeless dogs and cats while they search for a new home for them. I guess just Google Bark in the Park 2020, and you can find the website if you want to donate. And then I will be running another 5K. I run for Kaya, which is a charity. It's called Unite, Inc., which is a support group for parents who have lost babies, whether it's like a miscarriage or stillbirth or anything like that. So, and I know that type of thing has affected so many people, like more people than I ever realized. So if you've ever suffered anything like that, or if you know anyone who has suffered that type of loss of a baby and you'd like to contribute to a support group that helps parents that have suffered that, I don't know the website. So I'd say just look up Unite Inc. Because actually, the I Run for Kaya 5K was canceled. They just did like a shirt sale, basically, to raise money. I'm running that 5K on my own. So if you want to donate to Unite, please do that. And if you don't, if nothing I said made sense, you could find my social media where I have posted more coherently about it. I believe at Ron Paschery on Twitter. And I believe at PASC1979 on Instagram. So if anyone would like to contribute to either of those two causes, would be greatly appreciated by me and everyone else involved. And Prep, for you, I want to say thank you for asking me to come on. I had a lot of fun. I have not podcasted in a while, so it was nice to shake off a little bit of rust. And I do want to say, like, I loved everything you and Andre did. Like, I think you guys did a great show for the almost 2 years that you did it. And I really admire like the work and the knowledge that Andre brought to the show. And I wish him all the best in whatever's next for him, like whether it's podcasting or life or whatever. I've gotten to sit down and talk to Andre, as you know, a few times, and wish nothing but the best for him. And I have nothing but like the highest hopes for you moving forward. I know whatever direction you take with podcasting, whether it's YBE or whether it's anything else that you want to do, like I know you'll put in the work and the effort and the time to succeed with it. So, like I said, I really have enjoyed everything you've done so far. I'm really excited to see everything that you you bring to us and your listeners in the future.
Yeah, thank you so much for those kind words, Pash. Also, before I get off the air, I would like to say that if all goes right and my recording schedule is on this weekend, I will be dropping a off the cuff on Monday with a very special guest. Let's just say that this guy does music and he's very, very good at what he does. So I'm looking forward to talking to him. And if anybody is still here, if you would like to be a guest on Off the Cuff, feel free to hit me up on any of my social medias and we can figure it out. I love doing that show. I would love to have you on and not talk about MMA. So we will get that on. Again, I thank you so much for coming on. You did me a solid this week, and I owe you a beer next time I see you.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure, though. You're welcome.
If it's your birthday, happy birthday. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and we'll see you next week.